and share the word with you. Fred and I have gotten to know a number of you over the weeks and months, and we've appreciated that opportunity to have those relationships and look forward to those in the future. And we thank also God for what he's doing through this church and reaching the lost. I think the emphasis is great about reaching out for the lost in the community. We thank God for that as well. Well, I always like to start with a humorous story or a joke. So the story is told of a little girl who is learning the concept of listening to Jesus in your heart, or accepting Christ in your heart. And so one day she was leaning against her mom's chest with her ear and listening. And the mom didn't know what she was doing, so she said, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she said, "I'm listening to Jesus in your heart." And she said, "Well, what does it sound like?" And she said, "Well," she paused and said, "sounds like he's making coffee to me." Don't you love the honesty and the faith of children and how sincere they are? Well, as we start the Word of God, looking to the Word of God, let's open in prayer, shall we? Lord, we thank you for laughter. We thank you for humor. And we thank you that we have the opportunity to laugh as the redeemed, because we know who we trust and believe in, and he gives us the ability to have a sense of humor. Lord, we thank you for your word and the power that it has in our lives. And we desire to trust you more and to lean on you more and to give you the glory more. Lord, we pray that in this hour, this time, that we would be changed in some way because of your word tonight. As your Holy Spirit is in this place, we pray that it would touch us as only you can. And we look forward to what you're going to do. Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. We thank you for what you're doing in this church. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And now may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray in Christ's name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I'd like for a moment for you to imagine a world without music. No music in your car radio. No music in the elevator, in the dentist's office. Well, maybe that wouldn't be too bad. What would the world be like without music? No songs or hymns of worship on Sunday morning. We'd miss that, wouldn't we? Music elevates our thoughts to worshiping God and praising him, doesn't it? Music is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It touches our lives and makes us feel better. A world without music would be a very empty place, wouldn't it? Music seems to, or serves to lift the worshiper to thoughts of God and exalting him. And it's great to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's not too far-fetched to think of a world without music, because for about 1,500 years, the world, or the church, was robbed of music until the reformers came along, Wesley and Luther, and restored it to the church. And music was restored as hundreds of hymns were written. One of those reformers, Martin Luther, I love him and what he did and how God worked powerfully through him as he reformed the church. And he loved music himself and wrote hymns. In fact, he's credited with about 40 hymns, Martin Luther is. And this is what he said about music. Listen to what he says. Quote, "I wish to see all arts, principally music, in the service of him who gave and created them. Music is a fair and glorious gift of God." That's true, isn't it? "I would not for the world forego my humble share of music. Singers are never sorrowful, but are merry and smile through their troubles in song. Music makes people kinder, gentler, more staid, and reasonable." And then listen to what he says here. It's very powerful. "I am strongly persuaded that after theology, there is no art that can be placed on a level with music. For besides theology, music is the only art capable of affording peace and joy of the heart. And then listen to this. The devil flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the word of God. Unquote. Those are amazing words, aren't they? Music is a powerful thing, and it is a fair and glorious gift of God. We all know examples of worldly worship, athletes that are emulated almost to the point of being idolized and put on a pedestal. But this evening, we're going to look at the importance of worship. How many of you love to worship the Lord? I love to worship Him too. And we're going to see three ways that it's important. Let's start, first of all, with a definition of worship and what it means. We need to discover how to worship God more effectively, don't we? All of us, from a biblical viewpoint, and how it's important in our lives. What is worship? Well, worship is an active response to God whereby we declare His worth. Isn't that good? Notice it's an active response to God. You can't be passive when you're worshiping the Lord. Amen? We declare His worth, His value, His preeminence. And this is what I'd like you to remember tonight, if you forget everything else, and I hope you don't. Worship is life's highest calling for the child of God. Think about that. That's true, isn't it? Worship is life's highest calling for the child of God. It's interesting to note that the word worship comes from the Anglo-Saxon worthship, which means to ascribe worth or value to someone or something. What about you and what about me today? Are we worshiping the Lord every day? I don't do it every day, but I know that when I do, I feel better in my soul and I feel encouragement and joy. Don't you? Worship makes life joyful. And we're ascribing worth to God when we worship Him. Let's endeavor to worship God every day more and more. Well, at least three elements involved in true worship. The first one is this. Worship involves wonder. Worship involves wonder. You have the points on the back of your bulletin today that John put together. When we worship God, we're wrapped up in the awe, the wonder, the splendor of who He is. And when we worship God, we exalt Him and lift Him high. Worship involves the awe of God and who He is, and His character, and His name. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 8, verses 1 and 9. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth, who has displayed Thy splendor above the heavens. And in verse 9, he repeats that thought, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth. You know, you've probably had this experience as I have, going to the ocean and seeing the waves and the wonder of God, the awe of what God does. Maybe looking out at the stars at night. Ben and I, the other day, were looking at the stars and wrapped up in the wonder of who He is and how great God is. It's interesting that the Psalms were Israel's hymnal, and the word psalm means to sing with the stringed instrument. In this psalm, we see God's reputation, His name, and His character are exalted by the psalmist. Do you see that? And he says, how majestic, or how mighty, how splendid is your name. God's name is wonderful, isn't it? And we also see an example of exalting the Lord and His worth in Psalm 145. Turn with me into that psalm. Another psalm of David. Psalm 145, a great psalm of the Lord that extols Him and His praise. Psalm 145, verses 1 to 7. David says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day I will exalt Thee, and will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty, and on thy wonderful works, I will meditate. And men shall speak of the power of thine awesome acts, and I will tell of thy greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of thine abundant goodness, and shall shout joyfully of thy righteousness. What a wonderful psalm, isn't it? And in this psalm, God's name and his greatness and works are praised. He says, great is the Lord. In other words, great in importance, in verse 3. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you and I involved in worship every day? We can be. Maybe you're like me, you get discouraged sometimes and you put a CD in the car or a CD at home or a record on, those old vinyl things, you know, remember those things? You know, there's a return to that. I just saw something in the YouTube that there's a return to those things like vinyl and CDs and that kind of thing. But when I put on a worship tape or a worship CD, there's something that happens in my heart. I'm encouraged and I'm blessed. Aren't you? There's something about worship it does for our soul. It encourages us and lifts us up. And that's great to know. We can worship the Lord every day, can't we? Well, suppose for a moment that the President of the United States should walk into our service. What would we do? Well, I think we would probably stand. Why? Because we're honoring his importance, his title, who he is, what he represents. We would honor him. My friends, in an infinitely greater way, we honor the Lord when we worship him. Amen? Worship involves wonder, but also worship involves worth. Worship involves worth. And I see that in Revelation 5, verses 8 to 14. Revelation 5, verses 8 to 14. Turn with me there. And in this passage, we see a picture of the throne of God and the elders and the angels praising God. And it's a wonderful picture. Look with me at verse 8 in Revelation 5. And when he, Jesus, had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Did you notice that? It's a song that's never been sung before. Never heard. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels toward the throne, around the throne rather, and the living creatures and elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and glory and honor and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down, and what did they do? They worshiped. They worshiped. Do you see the picture? They worshiped the Lord. Why? Because he was worth praising. He was worth exalting. He was worth lifting high. And we can do that too when we worship the Lord, can't we? Only Jesus is deserving of our praise. Only Jesus is deserving of our exaltation. Only Jesus is worthy of our glory. Amen? When we worship Christ in song, we're showing that only He is worthy of our highest praise. In Revelation 5:14, the elders fell down and worshiped Christ. And worship means to show reverence to or to prostrate oneself toward. One of my favorite, in fact, my favorite classical composers, Johann Sebastian Bach. He was a Christian and wrote many wonderful songs and sacred works. And he wrote this: "The aim of all music is the glory of God." That's true, isn't it? The aim of all music is the glory of God. And he used to write on every manuscript that he wrote, "Ad majorem Dei Gloria" in Latin. And that has the idea of to the greater glory of God. That's what we should endeavor to do when we worship Him, is to glorify Him and lift Him up. Well, suppose for a moment you want to obtain a rare art treasure, such as a Renoir or a Rembrandt painting, and you said it had limitless or priceless value. You would be describing or ascribing limitless value to it. And so it is with worshiping God. When we worship Him, we're ascribing limitless value or worth to Him. Amen? When we worship Him with our instruments or voices or our lives. You see, my friends, I believe worship is a central issue of the Christian life. It's a central issue. Remember the catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism? What did it say? What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose. That's our worth. That's our value, is to glorify Him with our lives. And we'll be doing that for eternity. Isn't that great? We're going to be worshiping the Lord for eternity. I can't get my mind around that, can you? But it's going to be wonderful to glorify God forever. Well, worship involves wonder, the awe of Him, His splendor, His majesty. Worship involves worth. But worship also involves the will. Worship involves the will. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at a few passages about that. We'll begin in Psalm 100. And as we're turning to there, one that Ben read today, I remember as an attender at a church in Beaverton with Greta, we were doing a church plant there, and I was leading from the piano down in Albany in a small church. We sure enjoyed those people. They were wonderful people. And for the first time in a long time, I began to get a grasp of what it really means to worship the Lord as I led the piano, I led worship from the piano. And this is what it says in Psalm 100. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." Why? "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Did you notice, my friends, how many times we're commanded to worship the Lord? 7 times God exhorts us to worship Him. Amen. It's wonderful to glorify the Lord and to give Him the praise. It's not an option. It's a command from the Lord. And when we do, we feel encouraged and joyful, don't we? Worship involves our will. Worship involves my will. I make a choice to worship the Lord, don't I? And you do too. And then in Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20, there's another example of worship in the New Testament. Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20. Notice what it says there in a well-known passage. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says this: "And not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, incurable sickness, but be filled with" what? "The Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. One of the things I love to do with Reddit in our quiet times sometimes is to sing. You ever sing with your spouse? It's wonderful to do that. And if you don't have a spouse, you can sing to him anyway. Amen? And give him the glory. It's wonderful to sing praise to the Lord. And I love to do that. And Ephesians 5:19 speaks of making melody with your heart to the Lord. To really worship the Lord, our whole heart must be involved, mustn't it? To really be obedient to the Lord. And the heart of worship is what? Our heart. That's where it emanates from. That's where worship comes from. It really is our heart. And true worshipers must worship the Lord in spirit and truth, Christ says, didn't he? The heart of worship comes from our heart. And when my heart is right, then I can worship the Lord in sincerity. It's not always right, but when it's not, and I confess sin to the Lord and make it right, and I worship him, there's something that happens in my heart and my soul. Amen? And then another passage, Hebrews 2, verses 11 and 12, we see another example of the will involved in worship. Hebrews 2, 11 and 2. Notice what he says there. For both he that is Christ, who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified, are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. Here, Jesus Christ himself becomes the singer of the praise of our Heavenly Father. Did you notice that? He demonstrates his desire to exalt the Father through song. He says, I will proclaim. I will sing. I love what St. Augustine said, the great theologian from the past, about this. He said that Jesus Christ is the singer of the Psalms. Isn't that good? All throughout the Psalms, we see the praise of God, the glory of God, the majesty of God. And it's wonderful to do that. You know, when you open your Bible and it opens to the center, what does it open to?
Psalms.
The Psalms. Isn't that interesting? I think that's a good thing to think about. That the Psalms are the center of the Bible, and so the center of our lives should be praise. Amen? We should praise Him. Well, let's look at a few practical points, and then we'll close the service. How can we more effectively worship the Lord? How can we be better at worshiping Him, exalting Him? Well, one way, I think, is to drop your papers. Praise the Lord anyway. One way to do that is to focus on the words and meditate on Christ. When you're singing the songs like we sang today, or worship the King. Worship the King, O glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Think about those words and how wonderful they are. And you'll be drawn into worship in a better or more meaningful way. Think about the words. Sometimes when I'm distracted, I'll close my eyes, so that I can think about what I'm singing and how I'm exalting the Lord. And that'll make a difference in your worship, won't it? I remember years ago, we were attending a church in Beaverton, and I was sitting next to the youth pastor. And I'd never noticed this before, but it seemed like he was really focusing on the words when he was singing. And I began to think, you know, I need to do that myself. And from then on, I began to focus more on the words when I was worshiping the Lord. That'll make a difference in your worship when you focus on what you're singing. And sometimes I'm distracted by other people or surroundings or whatever. And when I close my eyes and focus on the words, it's much more meaningful. You ever done that? You ever tried that? It makes a difference. Another way we can worship the Lord is with our lives. Notice that in Romans 12, in a well-known passage, Romans 12:1, he says there, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of what? Of worship." Isn't that interesting? When our lives are pure and holy, we're worshiping the Lord. We're exalting Him. We're giving Him the praise. You worship with your life. Years ago, I had met a man named Lee Brace, and he was working with Navigators, and a very godly man, and he taught me about praying through the Scriptures. You ever heard of that before? Praying through the Scriptures. And he taught me how to do that in my quiet time. And so I began to pray through the Psalms, and I've continued to do that. And it'll transform your worship in your quiet time if you pray the Scriptures back to the Lord. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, for example, take Psalm 23:1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Pray that back to the Lord. "Thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. Thank you that you lead me. Thank you that you guide me. And there's nothing I shall need." That'll change your worship in your quiet time. Another way to worship the Lord more effectively is to prepare Saturday night. This is a great way to prepare for the service the next day. Last night I put on a record, a praise record, and I was praising the Lord and singing to the Lord in preparation for today. And that'll change your time of worship and your time of quiet time with the Lord. Years ago, I had the chance to go to Promise Keepers in 1995. How many of you have heard of Promise Keepers? It's a great organization, and I had the privilege of attending four of them. And this one was in Seattle at the King Dome, and they imploded the King Dome so that it doesn't exist anymore. But at that gathering, there were 61,000 men praising God together. It was an incredible scene. I'll never forget it. 61,000 men praising God and lifting their voices to exalt Him. I was just wrapped up in the wonder of that moment when I was there. We had a group of guys from the church that we had taken, and it was a wonderful time. And after that service, I began to reflect about, this is a slice of what heaven's going to be like. Worshiping the Lord before the throne. I get goose pimples just thinking about it, don't you? That's what we're going to be doing for eternity, my friends, is worshiping God. Isn't it going to be great? And you know, somebody said this, church is dress rehearsal for eternity. Isn't that good? And really it is, because that's what we're going to be doing for eternity. Before the throne, exalting Him and glorifying Him and giving Him praise. Aren't you looking forward to that? I know I am. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of worshiping you, of glorifying you, and giving you the praise that you alone deserve. We thank you for giving us a little better glimpse of what it means to exalt you. And Lord, we want to do that more every day, that you would be lifted up. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to do that on a daily basis and at church. We thank you for music and putting it in our lives to encourage us, to lift us up, to meet our soul's need. And we'll praise you, and we'll glorify you forever and ever. We thank you for your love for us and what you mean for us. And we'll give you the praise. We pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let's receive a benediction this evening as we close. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you, now and always, and to the end of our days. Amen.
Thank you.
You are.